In one calendar year, have you ever thought how many opportunities you have to celebrate the things that go on in this world? From all the national holidays, for all the breaks, not everybody gets that day off, like President's Day and things like that. Some people still have to travel for business. Some people are still working, especially like the fire department, the police, and the nurses and doctors. You know, that isn't necessarily a break, but we have a lot of time during the year. And when we get to say, thank you, and wow, this is awesome. From 4th of July, whether you like fireworks or not, it's great to have cookouts. To Veterans Day, to giving thanks for those who served, and the list goes on. And then when you think of the godly days, and as the kids said, you celebrate Easter and you celebrate Christmas, but you also get to celebrate Pentecost. We remember the day the Holy Spirit was sent by God to show the disciples that presence and that power that was given to them. And then they spoke in languages to share the good news with others. That was a great day. And today we still have the Holy Spirit. And so on Pentecost, we especially focus and we give thanks for that. We give thanks for the ascension before Pentecost, that Christ sits at the right hand of God the Father. We give thanks that God has given us life. We give thanks when someone is baptized. We give thanks, at least I do, when our confirmations are confirmed. You know, May, the first Sunday in May is when we have confirmation here. And my Thanksgiving isn't that now I have a summer free. My Thanksgiving is that these kids hopefully have grown in the grace of God. And then there's everything else, from the fellowship of the Lenten dinners and Advent dinners and Holy Week. And especially, I know our attendance is really good on Good Friday when we give thanks with all humility that Christ died. But it doesn't surprise us that so many days of the year our hearts are low. Because in the midst of these times that, well, that's nice, you know, it doesn't seem to be enough to pick us up out of despair. The political ads, right? Are they uplifting? Are they downers? Yeah. You know, the economy. For some, it's uplifting. For others, in their field, the job market's pretty tight. You know, and on it goes. We can find reasons to be bummed out. Illnesses, whether it's in our own body or in the bodies of people we care about, cancer hasn't gone away. Or how about just when it's the cold season? I mean, you know, so I know people that when they have a cold, they act like they're dying. You know, colds are not that terminal. Now, pneumonia, yes, but you understand? We hate suffering. We despise being inconvenient. We abhor when things are not going our way, and when this life is miserable, and indeed it can be, we stop having an uplifted heart. And when we stop having an uplifted heart, a lot of other things go with it. Chapman wrote a book called Five Languages of Love. And it's especially designed for husbands and wives. Then later on came five love languages of your teenager and then your kids and things like that. And it was built and designed to help couples communicate and discover, how do I show you and tell you and communicate what is my strongest way or manner in which I try to say I love you? And then, is that the language in which you receive love? Because I guess, according to Chapman, we don't always have the same love language. One may be, I love to give gifts, but if my partner is not so excited about gifts, then my message of love is not getting through. So I think some of them were gifts, time, service, conversation, okay? And that way. Now my question to you is, has God stopped telling you he loves you? Think about it. How many ways does God tell you he loves you? Now, to help you formulate these, you can do one of two things. You can turn to Psalm 95 in your hymnal. So pull your hymnal out and bring out Psalm 95. And for those of you who love the worship service called Matins, go to that service and look at the Venite. By the way, the Venite is based on Psalm 95. So I'm going to turn to the Venite. I have it marked in my hymnal. And in the Venite, it says, O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For he is the Lord. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. The deep places of the earth are in his hand. The strength of the hills is his also. And it goes on like that. And Psalm 95 also spells out the same message because that's what the Venite is all about. And you know what is silly about us humans? There's times that we think our parents don't love us when we're not getting what we want. And we transfer that also to God. There are times we think that God doesn't love us. Now, if you take your hymnal and turn to the Apostles' Creed, and the easiest way is just to go to the back. And you'll see the Nicene Creed and the Apostles' Creed in the back, inside cover of your hymnal. Or you can turn to any of the divine orders because the Apostles' Creed is there for you. And believe it or not, there, right there in front of you, in the words that you know so well, is expressed the ways in which God loves you. When it talks about how God is the creator of all things. And then it tells you that God loved the world so much, John 3:16, that he sent his only begotten son. And his son loved you so much that he was willing to be born. That's right, leave heaven and be born. Born of Mary. And there he is. And he lives and he grows up and he suffers under Pontius Pilate. And, you know, then he gets crucified by the very people he came to save. And then he is buried. And he descended into hell, not defeated, but as a winner. He descended into hell, and there he proclaims, this is why the souls in hell are here, because they refuse to believe. They rejected the promises. They refuse to believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God. And he left hell. He rose on Easter. You know these things. But when we set them aside, all of a sudden, we start to believe that God doesn't love us anymore or as much. And sometimes, it's almost like we transfer a very old human joke and we make it about God. The wife says to the husband, how come you don't tell me you love me? And the husband says, I told you on the day we were married, and if it changes, I'll let you know. You know, it's a terrible joke, isn't it? so what we say to God, God, how come you don't love me? How come you haven't told me you love me? And it's like, well, I told you when my son died for you, and if it changes, I'll let you know. I'll tell you when he rose from the dead, and if it changes, I'll let you know. How silly we are. But because of the way we learn about love, the way we see love modeled, the examples of love and unloving around us, we forget that God's love is the purest and the greatest there is. And as we forget about God's love, we forget to celebrate. And therefore, we tell God we love him when we think it's important or significant. We tell God we love him when we get married at the altar. We tell God we love him, the firstborn, okay? It changes after that. You know, with the firstborn, we're all excited. I mean, we're in the clouds. We tell God we love him when something else comes our way, when something else happens, whether it's a healing, new job, or something. We go, thank you, God. You know? I'll bet you a lot of Cubs fans were saying, thank you, God, when the Cubs won. Do you understand? That's when we were, oh yeah, I'm supposed to tell you I love you. But the other days, it's like, God, if it changes, I'll let you know. The Venite helps us. Why is it we celebrate this life in Christ? Why is it we celebrate the love of God in Christ? Why is it we celebrate and we become uplifted and joyful when we hear the words of forgiveness after we have said, I'm a mess. I have sinned. And the words are, you are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And when God tells us, I love you, in the bread and the wine, the body and blood of Jesus, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins to strengthen your faith, there he is telling you he loves you. And when we receive this in faith, we are communicating to God, yes, you love us and we love you because you have loved us first. Our life, our walk in Christ is about a celebration. It's not that life is easy, because it isn't. It's not that we're never afraid, because sometimes we are. It's not that, you know, we always have courage, you know, like macho men or something like that. No, there are times it's almost like we're milquetoast and we fade. But we celebrate that God never goes away. We celebrate that in the face of hardship and challenges, God is still God. And so we communicate by the power of faith back to God, we love you. And each of us have those times, talents, gifts, whatever resources that God has given in a way that they may be used for his glory. You tell your children as you provide for them, shelter them, teach them, you know, remind them again and again, you know, this is for your well-being. You tell your spouse, I love you. Whatever language of love that you choose to use, whether it's gifts, time, sharing, whatever it is, you communicate to your spouse. You know it's important to marriage to do that. Well, it's also important in your walk in Christ and in the newness of Christ that you express this joy and this gift of love in you. And so today is, yes, it's Pledge Sunday, and yes, the financial numbers are there, but it's more than that. It's who I am inside and out, head to toe, all that I have, all that I own. You know, it's like the hymn, take my life and let it be. Consecrated, Lord, to thee. It's all that I am is used to celebrate the fact that God gave me Jesus. did God give you, Jesus? You know, if we were a football stadium, one side would say, God gave me Jesus, how about you? You know, the other side would be responding. But we're not a football stadium, and it's not a joke. For having Jesus is a matter of life and death. Yeah. God gave us this gift to celebrate. And so at your baptism, you were made alive. You weren't alive. You were made alive. In your confirmation, you vowed that you are going to do everything that you can by the grace of God to stay alive. And that means follow the scriptures. And you're confessing and professing on your own behalf by the power of that spirit that God put in you. In your marriage, you're saying, I promise, as Christ loved the church, I as the husband will love my wife. The willingness to lay down my life. And on the list goes, that we use our time, our wisdom, our knowledge for the glory of God. Whether I work and serve in the house of the Lord, or whether I work and serve in the community, however it is, that I would be a light of Christ wherever I go. And I would be celebrating that. Does politics change this? No. Does the economy diminish it? No. Do you understand? Does illness take it away and kill it? No. And so instead of, you know, shuffling in the church, you know, kind of coming in, how are you? Fine. You know, what's new? Nothing. You know, instead of coming in that way, why don't we come in as we are? Are you alive in Jesus Christ? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that sounded strong.
Yes.
I know we're Lutheran. Can I get an amen, Pastor?
Amen.
Yeah, see? We can have passion, even as Lutherans. Don't tell everybody. Because not that we're Lutheran, but that we're alive in Jesus Christ. It's the best of all. And with that, we celebrate. Amen.